Just start, Hugo.
Podcast is started. This is how it starts.
Yes.
All right, James, turn that off. That's wait, so you're just going to edit in the intro later?
Yeah. Podcast confirmed, episode 43.
The 2015 debut.
Yeah, start of season 3 of Podcast Confirmed. Here get we've got...
hype.
Yeah, get hype. We've got Sam.
Hello.
We've got James.
How's it going?
We got Harry.
Of course.
And we got me, Hugo, or Hagamaga.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the Podcast Confirmed headquarters at my house.
Yeah, not at the ABC anymore.
Yeah.
That was a one-off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not going to be spending the whole of 2015 there.
Yeah, budget cuts kicking in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we apologise for the quality as usual. It is pretty damn dreadful. When you compare it to the quality of the ABC one, it's like, I can't listen to this.
We had nice buttons that made noises and stuff.
Yeah. But just the pure audio quality, because we're all sharing a mic here. It's so bad.
Yeah.
The quality of this podcast is awful.
Fucking terrible.
Agreed.
All right.
Anyway,
so,
look, I think the listeners should just be glad that we exist at all, and I don't think we should be responsible for what they think.
I don't think the listeners have any opinions, because we don't have listeners. So, I mean...
Well, the way to just alienate anyone who does listen.
You mean Nudge?
Yes. Okay, in the news.
In the news, we've got AGDQ. Harry, explain this.
AGDQ is kind of like this week-long event where these guys raise money for charity by speedrunning, and it goes all week on Twitch, just non-stop.
Yep.
They speedrun just a whole bunch of games. It stands for Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yep.
And James is currently
I'm
streaming.
Currently watching it right now. This portal, what is it called again? Tag Team?
Aperture Tag. Is happening right now.
It's like a Portal 2 mod, and the speedrun so far has been amazing.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
The speedrun is a bit more fluid than how I played it today, because I spent almost all my morning playing that damn game. I will be talking about that later in the podcast.
Nice.
But what about AGDQ do you guys like?
I just like it because you kind of get to see a lot of your favourite games, and games you kind of wish you'd got around to playing, but never probably will ever be played.
Yeah.
And it's
like, just get totally destroyed, basically.
Yeah.
Like, and you just see these people who just have this... crazy mentality
like
where they
studied the game just like so much. It's amazing.
And like, you realize how much there is to exploit in some of these games.
What about the streaming format helps that though? Because I mean, there's plenty of speedruns of all everyone's favorite games online that you could just watch.
Yeah.
And explanations of them. And
well, it's kind of like they get the people to do it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's kind of.
That's the main.
There's a whole audience there. You've got a whole, like, 100,000 people on Twitch at a time.
Do they bring them to one location? It looks like they've got some streaming thing. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, like a center. And they just have, like, the guy front and center on a camera playing the game for you.
Yeah.
And then you've got people behind him who are, like, you know, also experts at the game and speedrunning the game. So it's like, if the guy's playing and he does something complicated that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Then, like, the five guys who know how to speedrun the game behind them can explain it for you. And
nice.
Like, oh, what he did here was he exploited this thing in the engine.
Yeah.
Nice.
And another thing is, like, they've got donation
things
being read off the whole time, people donating. But also, like, donation goals. So when people donate, they can, like, specify voting for, like, they might do, like, one game or the other, or, like, specific. Bonus thing if like a certain goal is met with the donations.
What charity are they giving to?
Like the
Prevent Cancer Foundation.
Oh, cool.
And they've raised 580,000 American dollars.
Not including the Humble Bundle, which is also
dedicated
to them this week.
Have you got the Humble Bundle for this week?
No, I probably should though.
Yeah.
It comes with like a Twitch.
Yeah, that was the only thing that looked appealing to
and
me.
And a 3-month like XSplit Pro thing as well.
That didn't look appealing to me.
When OBS exists.
Yeah, exactly.
But and a bunch of games, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like
I mean, yeah. I don't think Humble Bundle, like, they were good back in the day, but now
Humble Store is still pretty
now nice. They've gone mainstream.
Like no, it's not that they're mainstream. It's just that I suppose they've dug into all the good indie games and released them in their 10 million bundles, which they've done.
Yeah.
Now everything is second best or has one good game and then 5 trash games.
But it's still like ridiculously good value for money.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Well, I think part of it is there's just a million indie games now. And like Steam is doing all that stuff just to curate what games you might want to play because there's so many.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, James, what has been your favourite game to watch on AGDQ?
Well, I mean, you're talking about like watching games that you know and watching games that you didn't get around to play or something like that. But the coolest thing for me is discovering games through it.
So what game have you discovered?
Perspective, that game that we were talking
about. Oh, yeah.
Which
it's so hard to explain.
Really hard to describe, but like it's a platformer, but it's entirely based on your perspective of this little guy who's jumping around these rooms that have like colored sections on the walls. Like if you change the way you look at those things.
So what it is, it's like first person, you're flying around like noclip.
Yeah.
Through this like environment, and there's like these glowing bits of the environment that are solid things that your 2D guy will interact with.
Okay.
So it's sort of like Fez?
No.
No?
So
it's nothing like... I mean, kind of remotely, but it's full 3D.
Yeah.
But like Fez, except you control your camera, directly.
Instead of having, ways to look
but the level, the exact way you're looking at the objects, like the solid objects that your guy can interact with, that's, like, the space... That's how it will interact with them. So if it's, like... You're seeing like a cube on an angle, the guy will walk up it on an angle.
Okay.
Like, just like on the top of the. It's so hard.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
I
don't know how they thought of it all programmed.
No, it's amazing, yeah.
Like, you just watch it and you're like, what the fuck? And also, like, because you see them speedrun it.
Yeah.
And they're just like moving into these positions and like just moving the guy and like. Because they can freeze it, they make the guy jump and then move to a different spot.
So, like,
and the guy kind of stays in the same spot, but all the objects are different.
Nice. So a platform like appears under him from your perspective, and then you unpause and he lands on it.
It's so hard to describe.
Have you guys?
No, I think I see what you mean.
Have you guys looked into buying that game or
it's free?
Yeah,
or playing?
Oh, that's right, it's free. Yeah,
I probably will. Though.
I will definitely play.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Sounds.
Has it got a storyline or any of that, or is it just your typical kind of?
The run was over in like 5
minutes.
Yeah,
you don't really get much story out of a game in a speed run. Really.
Yeah, that's
it's just
true.
Just like skipping cutscenes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like they're at the
end.
Yeah,
it looks like they finished at 26 and a half minutes for Aperture Tag.
How long did it take you?
Took me 4 hours.
This guy looks pretty good. He's got an Aperture Science t-shirt, I mean.
Oh, that's pretty
he's
impressive.
He's dedicated.
Oh, they were doing Portal earlier with 2 people, one, like, controlling it.
Oh, I love those things. Like, one
person
on keyboard.
One
person,
and one person on the mouse.
Oh, I love that.
It was ridiculous. Still, like, 19 minutes.
Yeah. See, this is what surprises me about Aperture Tag. You'd think with the paint, it would be more exploitable.
I don't think so.
But, Portal Gun's pretty damn good. It's hard to argue with a Portal Gun.
And like Portal 1, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of like engine exploits in the
original. And some of them are deliberate. Like some of them were things they noticed and left in, but others are...
Hmm.
Sonic Adventure 2 was probably my favourite one to watch, just because it was
good.
They didn't play the game. They literally started a level, looked in the direction of like the end of it, and then like went off the map in this like glitch way.
I need to see that.
They just like fling to the finish without even like being able to see any of the map, just the skybox. just like fling and just hope they landed on the end. And if they didn't, they'd just try again, but it would still be faster than doing the level.
I am a huge, semi-ironic fan of Sonic Adventure 2.
It's like those things they do where they exit like a loop-de-loop, but like halfway through, so they just go straight up.
Yeah.
And they just like glide to the end.
Those Sonic games, especially like the early 3D ones, the controls are so... I mean, they're worse than some of the later 3D ones. But they've got like this whole thing where they accelerate, but they also try to have normal 3D movement. So sometimes if you're not playing it properly, you run at a bounce thing. You run it at the wrong angle and it bounces you off weirdly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you could figure all that out, because I know accidentally sometimes in that game I've done like crazy things that have just... you know, bounce you in completely the wrong place, you land, you're like, where am I?
It's like F-Zero, where they just, like, off the side of a ramp and then just, like, fly off to, like, halfway across the track. And
Oh, my God.
That's what they were doing in, like, Marble Blast as well. That was so good. And they made the game just seem, like, not even worth, like, playable. And, like, it just seemed like a buggy-ass game, but it's really not.
Yeah.
It's just, they're just insane.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, let's. We can.
So, shall we move on to what we have been playing? What have we been playing?
What have we been playing? Who are we going to start with?
We'll start with you. You're first on the list. Sims 4.
I played The Sims 4. I finally got it with Christmas vouchers. And it's interesting. It's kind of like a big. There's a lot of steps back from The Sims 3. It's no longer open world. Obviously,
well,
a lot.
How do they remove open worldness? Like,
okay, no, it is open world. It's just there's loading screens between areas again.
Oh, okay.
It's not like, and that seems like a huge hit, but
it doesn't.
Holy
sound like
shit, it's worth it.
Okay.
Because it's like, The Sims 3 was so ahead of its time, and like, no, I say that it like technologically, because no one could handle it. When you had all the expansions installed, there was not a single computer in the world that could just run it fine. It literally takes like 20 minutes to load.
That's
Harry, always like
Harry,
the...
there's ahead of its time and then there's terribly optimized.
Yeah. No. Literally.
But people always say like that the open world with no load screens is the platonic ideal, like the...
It is.
The holy grail, except that, you know...
It's The Sims, and the audience is people on tablets and laptops.
Yeah.
And it's that can't work at all, let alone on, like, a high-end PC.
Wait, and it always took forever to load. Even I remember Sims 2, Sims 1, you would open it up and be like, go off, get a coffee.
Come back half an hour
the
later.
Thing is, the thing is, The Sims 3, it's ridiculous in how much it had to manage. It was... The entire map, every house you had to be able to access at any given point, anything that was happening in those houses, and you had the full like custom skin thing for any object in the game, which meant like every object had it not like a static texture, but like a code that would generate its texture.
Yeah, there's no
every single thing.
Alright.
So they took that out and just gave preset colors, which is a huge step back in like customization, but it's like the sacrifice is so worth it for the performance, because like above all else, The Sims 4, it fucking works. Like it.
I think that's really what you wanted in Sims 4, I mean, more than anything.
Because like, I think, in Sims you have no room to, like most games that do like the open world, because I remember like way back Zelda Wind Waker has like an open world that there's no loading screens unless you go in a house. But like that has so much room to exploit, like, you know, have like mists in the background or things that will allow it to run and like the textures and everything. But in The Sims, you can never do that. And it needs to be ready for you being like, okay, I'm going to this house. And you go instantly to that house and it goes, oh, I'm changing all these textures and everything needs to be just so.
Yeah, pretty much. Another big step up is the characters. Tom said it wasn't, but I think he was misinformed, but I think the characters are, like, way more... They feel way more individual than, like, they ever have in a Sims game. Like visually and just everything. They don't... in all the other games, they've kind of all, like, relied on the same kind of facial structure and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you never really felt like you were making, like, a different person. But in this, like, you totally are. You can just, like, really get in depth with, like, what they look like. And it's way more cartoony, which means that, like, the exaggerated features get more exaggerated, more distinct and stuff. I like it, basically.
Okay.
I'm looking for... And also, like, they've done a lot of free patches so far. Like, they put in pools, new careers and stuff already.
Okay.
Do they still do the expansions like they used to? Like, the same sort of... Because it seems like sort of an outdated model to me.
That's an interesting point. And there has only been one kind of sign towards what the expansions are. That was, like, a couple weeks ago. And they're calling it, like, a content pack. But it seemed... And it's, like... They're calling it, like, the camping content pack or something. And it's, like... Normally, they'd make this huge deal out of, like, an expansion. But maybe they're just doing it, like, one kind of core feature.
Would they make a huge deal out of the expansions, though? Because yeah, there's, like, 20 or 30 million for each one.
No, there was about 10 for each game. For, like, Sims 2 and 3. And they were, like, $40. But maybe with this, they'll kind of take a step back and be, like, just DLC... Because yeah. like singular features, but less cost, and I'd be fine with that.
I could imagine them just running a shop in game or something.
They did that last time.
Okay,
and it was shit, but they haven't done it with this.
Yeah, it's like a very odd thing, but it's so 10 years ago the idea that you go and buy these expansions and they're like, then you have this huge installation and you know what I mean.
Yeah. It doesn't look to be that way this time, which is interesting.
The thing that annoyed me was every time they put an expansion in, the cheat codes changed.
That wasn't in The Sims 3, but yeah.
In Sims 2 it was.
That
was
reminds
so
me
annoying.
Of another thing. In the recent patch, they added something it's never had before, which is there's a cheat that means you can place objects anywhere. It basically gives objects no clip, so like they can interact with each other, and it's just made it completely different, because you can also scale objects.
Right.
In this, which means,
so basically,
you can just put anything anywhere.
Is it still?
Like,
is it still on a grid?
Map editor.
Yeah.
Is it still on a grid?
Yes, but no. Like the houses are objects you can move around freely.
Oh, okay.
Also, that reminds me of another thing, which is the room system now, and also the houses are fully modular. Which is hard to explain like this, but basically it means you can just move each room individually and shape it individually with, like, arrows to pull it around. And also save individual rooms to, like, an online gallery, which you can then search for rooms and just, like, pull one into your game from, like, the top-rated ones. And just, then you'll have a room and you can just move it around, fit it in, like, edit the walls. Whereas...
Do you need to put a roof on these days? Because that's... Okay.
But they're way easy to do as well.
That's what I remembered in the old games. You could do this thing where you would just not have a roof if you wanted to cut costs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do anything to cut costs.
But, I mean, like, none of the real-world repercussions would happen if you didn't put your roof on.
Right, yeah,
pretty much. It's less modular than The Sims 3 because of, like, the textures and stuff, but it feels more modular in the more important places, like the house building and like what the Sims look like and stuff. So I'm gonna say overall it's a step forward, even though they took a lot of things out.
Okay.
And like I can't see myself going back because of the load times and just everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you've also been watching your brother play Dark Souls 2.
What's there to say about that, really?
Well, I've heard...
How many times did he die, estimate?
A lot.
What I've heard is that Dark Souls 2 is sort of inferior, and that it's sort of...
Yeah, I've
like, they tried a lot of different things, and that...
It wasn't, like, the same project head, wasn't it?
Something like that, and that they've, For listeners, I'm a big fan of Demon Souls and Dark Souls, and I remember getting hold of Demon Souls... back when it wasn't like famous and it took me forever, but I didn't get Dark Souls 2 because I still haven't finished either of the previous ones. So, but what I've heard is that they had a troubled development where they tried a bunch of different things and that some of the game is sort of designed to have a lighter tone, but it doesn't all fit like it. Because the other ones have this whole, like, dread tone going through the whole thing.
I've played, like, very short bursts of the other two. No, I don't think I played them, but I've watched people play them. It does seem pretty different. I mean, it's, from what I've heard, it's still, like, a really good, strong game. It's still a really good game. I can tell it's still a really good game, but, I mean, like, I've heard so many people say it doesn't have, like, the same charm, or, like, the same...
whatever the opposite of charm is.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, that. Like, the...
good anti-charm.
Like, they've done a few things with,
atmosphere.
Like, placement of, like, bonfires and, like, level design and just...
okay.
Enemy layouts that just make it not quite as strong, this overall, or, like, unique.
Okay.
I don't know. But it's still really fun to watch, and, like, you still get these moments where you just walk into a room and you're like, there's something, this huge monster and, like, acid pouring out of the walls.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck do I do? And you just die instantly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It takes, like, half an hour to get back there, but, and then, like,
oh, God.
Have, like, some idea.
Oh, this guy I watched, he spent 6 hours on one boss.
Yep.
Like, straight.
Yep.
Like, just straight. And
that
it was, like, a few minute lead up to it where he's just, like, running past all of these guards just to get to the boss.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, the way it works is, like, if something like that happens where you get stuck, you can just go back to another level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and there'll be, like, some other branch.
What I always loved about it was the whole system where you die and your corpse sits there. And each time it pushes you forward because you have this incentive and you're like, I need to get to my corpse because I get all my leveling stuff back. All your...
souls.
Yeah, all your souls back. And what it would do is you have this really difficult level and you would be pushed forward each time. Because once you get there, you're like, well, I might as well go on, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you were being really... careful, you would go back and get your level up or something. And
it's so hard. Hugo, do you know anything about Dark Souls?
Only of what I've played of Demon Souls.
On
Sam's.
It's basically like...
were you playing it, watching it on console or PC?
PS3.
It's sort of one of those games that's very... pared down and gamey and very rhythmic. Like, you get into sort of the groove of playing it, and each time you're just going through and watching your movements very closely, and...
it felt a bit like Super Meat Boy when I played it, in the kind of... you're just kind of edging forward, getting slightly more...
I can see that, but it's different to Meat Boy, mostly in that Meat Boy is super quick, and Dark Souls is very slow. Like...
that's true.
When you get to the higher levels, I can tell you, like, it's five hours on a boss, kind of...
yeah, no, it takes forever to pass a level, but that level will, if you die, you lose that level in 30 seconds. But in Dark Souls, you, like, once you die once, you're like, okay, I'm getting back to my corpse, and you spend a half hour just slogging slowly forward, and, it, like, just watching each bit to make sure you do it right this time, and...
yeah.
Yeah, but here's, like, one misstep and an enemy will just one hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not sometimes.
All right.
All the time.
So, Hugo, what have you been playing? Well, I have been playing...
Hashtag.
Well, I'm going to start with Bioshock Infinite.
The
DLC. Burial at Sea, Part 1 and 2.
Okay, so I haven't heard anything about this.
I'm very excited, because I really want to play this.
Yeah. One. And you should be excited, because it's damn good.
I haven't played Infinite.
Oh, spoilers.
You should.
I'm not going to talk about...
dude, Infinite. I've heard... no one can spoil anything about Infinite for me. It's all been spoiled.
Really?
Well, I'm not even any point playing it, really.
That's kind of
true. I disagree.
Everyone was talking about the ending.
But it's really, like, the plot carries, like, hard.
Oh.
Like, so hard. In Infinite. I don't know about the DLC, but, like...
yeah.
Okay, how's the DLC?
Well, I thought it was fantastic. Absolutely deserving of... podcast confirmed award.
Nice.
Despite the fact that none of us had
played
it.
Yeah, I didn't even play it. I voted for it.
Yeah, same. but yeah, no, it deserves the award. It felt like it could have just been a Bioshock 3. Like,
right.
Okay.
in
BioShock Infinite 2.
4.
BioShock 4.
I would have called it BioShock 3 because it is.
It's Booker and Elizabeth in.
Ratchet, yes.
So it is kind of like the
blue. Oh, I see. Two.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
It really is. And.
The whole fact that it exists.
When does it?
Spoiler, really.
When does it?
Yeah, exactly.
Where does it fit in the timeline? Because
that's a spoiler.
Do you want me to tell you?
No.
Not
if you're ever gonna play it.
It's a pretty major spoiler.
Okay.
Like
the fact that.
Because I had thought BioShock is like
means we shouldn't tell you.
50. Infinite is like 50s, right? And BioShock is like 30s or 40s.
No, Infinite's like 1900s.
Yeah.
Oh,
I see. 1910s.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so like.
And BioShock is.
Is this a spoiler for
Infinite?
Yeah, I know.
For both of them, really.
I know what happens at the end of Infinite. You don't need a. World has spoiled it for me.
Okay. You actually go back to Infinite.
Oh, shut up.
Oh. Well, damn it, there's nothing.
I mean,
the whole game is really story driven.
What's the place called again in Infinite?
Columbia,
yeah.
But what is getting a lot of praise, got a lot of praise, was the actual gunplay.
Oh, and they changed it?
The combat.
Oh, cool.
So the first one is exactly like any other BioShock game.
Oh, you mean Infinite?
First episode?
Yeah.
You mean like Infinite?
No, the first episode of...
Of Burial at Sea.
I mean, like, is it the same as Infinite or the same as BioShock?
Both.
But they're different.
They're not...
They are different.
Okay,
they do feel completely different.
Okay, it feels more like Infinite, but it also feels more like BioShock in a way.
So it feels like they are... I mean, they're both BioShock. They both have guns
but
plasmids.
Yeah, it's the same kind of stuff, Harry. Like,
I don't know. I disagree. I reckon BioShock 1 feels way more like you're just in the world.
Well, that's like, not the same as combat.
No.
I know the combat. I mean.
Okay. It feels a lot more necessary. Like,
okay.
It's not BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That like
everyone's attacking you.
The BioShock has that sort of necessity where everything feels like it's part of the world and Infinite. It's sort of like they just stuck the engine and then made the world, but it doesn't gel.
Yeah,
no,
entirely.
More like the combat. It's like the enemies are just there to be enemies.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Where Splicers,
there's like a reason.
Yeah, there's a story reason they're like the way they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's Splicers.
Yeah. Okay.
But saying that, you know. If you don't like Infinite's gunplay, the first part isn't gonna.
But
they don't change up much.
But then
in the second part, it's. I can't even talk about anything, but it's a lot more stealthy, and
cool.
Your main weapon is a little crossbowy thing, and you go.
Oh right.
You sneak around, and you've got. There's three different ammunitions. There's like this kind of like smoke grenade crossbow thing that just kills like people in an AoE. And you never have more than like three bullets at once.
Right.
And you pick up the bullets from the dead bodies. And the whole stealth thing seems to work pretty well. So if you step on broken glass, people will turn around and start noticing you. And there's the whole game is really a stealth game, the way you play it.
Okay.
So,
I wish the whole Infinite had been like that.
It would have made more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. It fits really nicely in this one. And it creates some really tense and terrifying moments when there's a particular section where there's a big daddy walking around in this main corridor and you have to keep going past this corridor.
Right.
And... You know, you can hear Splicers and Big Daddies, like, grumble and talk around you and taunt you and things.
Yep.
What I liked about Big Daddies, they were so autonomous.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even feel like a programmed enemy. It's just like, it just exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. Infinite didn't have that,
unfortunately.
I can't, Yeah, it's true, but you haven't played much of Bioshock. I mean,
no, okay, but I got into it enough to know what it was like.
Okay, but I don't know.
But also, like,
I had like 2 hours of it.
The biggest hole in Bioshock is like the big moral choices which come from the big daddies.
Mm. You're constantly praising Bioshock, but you've played 2 hours of it while you've played all of Infinite.
Okay.
And you really like that. So,
yeah,
like,
I don't know. What I'm saying, I'm just saying it does the gameplay side of it better.
Okay. Well, it also does the story side better, I would say, as well. Bioshock, at least. In my opinion.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. I suppose it's so hard
does it
to
make
talk.
Does it make the story even more meta?
Yeah. Oh, it's completely
wow.
mind-fucked.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah. And it is really tied with Bioshock 1's story and setting.
Okay.
Do you meet your character?
I'm not going to comment on anything apart from that, just to say...
You are your character.
Spoilers, you play as a character.
Correct. Yeah, what I'm going to say is, if you haven't played Bioshock 1... from start to finish,
okay.
You won't get the same amount
out
of it.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Okay, I probably should then.
And also, before the game, they actually recap the whole story of Bioshock 1 in case you haven't played it,
right.
Because it is so necessary.
Yeah.
Is there a canonical ending to Bioshock 1?
Spoilers.
Is there a what, sorry?
A canonical ending, because there's... two endings. I don't think it's spoiling too much to say that.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting thing, because when the recap's done for Burial at Sea Part 2, it got the good ending.
Ooh.
Now, I got the good ending when I played Bioshock 1, so... If somehow it managed... to track that.
Oh, right.
And put that in.
I doubt that so much.
Steam? Is Bioshock 1 on Steam?
Yeah.
On your Steam account?
It is.
But it's also like Games for Windows Live and shit. I don't think it would have... No?
No, Bioshock 1 wasn't Games for Windows Live.
It was, dude. I had it on Games for Windows Live.
I never owned Bioshock 2 and I had number 1 and it totally was.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Shit. Well, because...
dark days, my friends.
Bioshock 2 was Games for Windows Live, and I nearly, like, fucking... Because I played 5 hours of it. Games for Windows Live lost my save, and I had to start again.
That happened to me with, like, Arkham City.
Oh, it was so fucked. I was so close to just calling it quits and never...
It's bullshit.
That was fucking bullshit. But I really enjoyed Bioshock 2, I reckon... Every Bioshock game for me has been fantastic.
Nice.
But Bioshock 2's story is, like, not linked at all to either Infinite, Bioshock 1, or Burial.
Well, it was a different dev.
Yeah, it's a different...
It's become
the Half-Life expansions, or, like, the Phantom Metal Gear sequel. You know, it's the...
The Half-Life expansions...
I wouldn't say quite like that.
They're definitely... canon, but...
I thought they were non-canon.
No, they're canon.
Alright.
Yeah, they're canon.
There's a Metal Gear... There's a sequel to Metal Gear 1 that was made in America, and then, like, the Japanese sequel is a response to it.
It took me 5 hours to play, James. Oh. 2 hours for the first one, 3 hours for the second one.
That's pretty substantial.
Yeah. And is it just two episodes?
Yeah.
Alright.
It's,
like, half as long as...
And there's, like, some...
Like seriously, they could have sold this as a game
at
$50. Like, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Like, it was enough of a game.
Nice. I'll be hanging out for a sale then again. Rip of the
fucking
Steam sale.
It's funny. The last time I played Bioshock, I played it directly after I'd been playing System Shock 2.
It just
wasn't as good because I like. And which sounds, like, terrible, because I bet it sounds like Harry would play Infinite and then Bioshock and then be like, oh, Infinite's not nearly as good. But I would play Bioshock and then System Shock 2 and be like, oh, Bioshock.
But, oh, man, I played, like, 5 minutes with System Shock 2. And I was like,
it's pretty old school, right?
Like, what the fuck is going on?
No, once you get into it, it's like,
I imagine, yeah. But like the intro where it's like,
it's so much less gamey.
Yeah. It's so way more gamey.
Nah.
It is, man.
Like, you know, if you played it, you would properly, you'd know.
Okay, but it's like,
it's a different kind of gamey. It's like, it's gamey of a different era.
Yeah.
It's still like, what's the it's still like, in the world of the game will be like, press the W key.
Oh yeah, no. That's like way, but that's like old school stuff, you know, where that like all like mouse click was new, mouse look was sort of new.
Yeah.
And they needed to establish that they were using it. But there are things in it like, just like little things, like how in Bioshock there are all these like invisible walls and stuff.
Are there?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, there are.
Like, things like little, they're like back, even at the start of the game, the one I always remember is you walk out of the bathysphere and there's like a tiny little barrier that you can't jump over back into the water.
Oh, okay.
It's like, couldn't you have just made a bigger barrier? But, okay. But,
yeah, they don't have jump in Bioshock, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. How could they not?
There's a lot of modern games that don't have jump.
But System Shock has like almost no invisible walls, and there are bits where you like,
James knows all about that.
About jumping
in System Shock, you know the.
Oh, yeah! I jumped over a, like a ledge and got trapped
in like in the first tutorial. 5 minutes.
Oh, really? No, but I remember doing that, jumping over a ledge and getting trapped. And they have like lean controls and stuff, and like a parkour button that will hoist you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I used that and got out, and I thought, and it was just a great moment for me because I'm like, huh, this is like a world.
Yeah. Nice.
It's not playing games with me. And it's the same with like the enemies in Bioshock are very like blam blam, but in System Shock, like each one you sort of look and like crouch and ponder and think about
them.
But whatever.
Well, in Burial at Sea, it's a lot more like that.
Yeah, I suspect
you pick your battles and you don't. I believe you can play the whole game without killing anyone.
Okay.
I definitely didn't.
I normally, when they give me like a non-lethal option, I'm like, look, the easiest way is to stealth and then kill them.
Yeah. For me, it was very much, I quite like a fast-paced running gun style. That's,
yeah.
So either, you know, just sprinting past shit or sprinting and shooting at the same time. Okay. So stealth sometimes for me is a bit out of character, but I definitely enjoyed the crossbow. There were some satisfying moments sneaking around, crossbowing, ducking into cover.
So it's mostly a sound-based stealth by the sound of it.
And vision as well.
But is there like camouflage stuff like in Thief or Metal Gear? Or
no, there's no camouflage.
And no shadows?
No. I played without shadows on, so I wouldn't know.
Jesus.
Well,
why? You know.
I got a really old graphics card. Okay.
But, well, it sounds like if the shadows a game mechanic.
I don't think it was a game
mechanic. Yeah, if they let you turn it off, probably not.
Yeah.
Can I just say, they're playing GTA Vice City on ADDQ right now, and it's like the most boring speedrun ever.
Yeah, it's literally like driving.
It's just like the game.
Yeah.
But, like, they just do it faster. Like all at once.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah, it's literally like he's standing right next to where a guy's gonna drive up and hop out of a car door. He's like literally just standing.
Well, we were saying earlier that the games tend to be the games people are nostalgic for. Yeah. And GTA Vice City is up there.
Yeah,
but it's definitely, it's one of the most like,
yeah, it's not like Sonic or even like a Zelda or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I don't think we can judge people for finding different games interesting.
No, yeah.
I'm sure.
But it's just not as fun to watch.
I really enjoy watching that, but I'm not one of them.
Well, I don't know. There was this, like, fucking Touhou game on, like, a platform that was, like, a Mario clone, like, Magical Anime Girls. And it was, like, an hour long, and it was the shittest thing ever. Because they were just playing it. It was just, like, playing it all at once. And it was like, no one cared about it. Oh my god. Anyway.
Okay. Either way.
So.
I will My final thoughts on Bioshock.
So you really liked the new Bioshock?
The Burial at Sea, yeah. And would absolutely recommend it. But I think you'd gain more value out of playing one than Infinite than that.
Yep.
Okay. In the order that it's meant to be played at.
Yeah. Did you get the season pass?
I did.
So you got that like extra little...
Yeah, so there's one more DLC, which I tried to play first, and worked out it was just a wave shooter.
Yeah.
And it was so bad.
Yeah.
Like,
what
well,
is this?
It's
Infinite Combat, right?
It's like the Season Pass bundle for Bioshock Infinite has Burial at Sea Part 1, Part 2, and it has this extra, like, as Hugo said, like a wave shooter.
What's it
like
called? It's...
I sound silly, but what's a wave shooter?
You know,
you're
like,
just like shooting waves of enemies.
Oh, right.
Keep, like,
you know, like Killing Floor.
Yeah. Gears of War Horde mode.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Zombie mode. Like, it's the most common thing.
Although Infinite did have like the sky rails and stuff, and I thought that was a pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
thing
like...
on the initial run.
Yeah.
I heard people say that they could have done more with it.
They actually have that in Burial at Sea. Not sky rails, but they have sky hooks.
Okay.
How do you get hooked around vast spaces underwater?
Well, there's lots of open-y places, I mean. Like dining halls and...
Okay.
You know,
I just remember in Bioshock there was nothing like with a roof higher than like maybe two body lengths above you.
Oh, well, there definitely is, so...
Okay.
I can assure you, it fits pretty well.
Alright.
The plasmids were also quite fun as well. But yes, I will wrap up. It's good. Play it.
Alright.
I also played Aperture Tag.
Good. How much did you pay for it?
I paid for what?
For the Burial at Sea.
I paid $10 or $15.
Okay. Nice.
And that was about a year and a half ago, or a year ago.
Oh, right. So you
season
had it for a
pass
while.
Is like 30
It's
bucks.
$30 right now. It was on sale for
15.
15.
Yeah.
I was like waiting for it to go to 10, like the whole season.
No,
I was like, please.
It is a full game. Like they, I suppose they don't want to discount it to the ground.
It is pretty recent.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only a year old. Like.
I'm just stingy.
Episode 2 was like. It's been like Mars or something.
Clash in the Clouds.
Yeah, Clash in the Clouds,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's exactly
was
how
it. Do love alliterative titles.
Was it just like you're fighting in a level?
It
and
was,
there are like multiple styles of level or something?
Yeah, I only played like one or two styles of levels before it got... Well, I mean, it was mindlessly boring from the start. I mean... There's sky rails, and like it's cinematically pretty fun, but like it's not something you play without the story, without the music, without
the
whole context,
the visual design as well.
Yeah. And honestly, like playing Burial at Sea, the whole Rapture world is so much more enticing to me than Columbia.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it's partly just that, as we were saying earlier, Rapture is very well tied into the game mechanics.
Yeah, it feels more fleshed out. And
yeah.
You get to see Rapture only briefly, but in an actual functioning state,
okay.
Which
oh,
was
cool.
Also quite interesting to see.
Yeah, that's
also
what I always wanted to see in Bioshock. I was like,
yeah.
People keep telling me this place used to run.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's the whole... It starts off kind of like a Half-Life game where you're going around it and it's just this normal place and you haven't
kind
got
like
any
in,
weapons.
Infinite had that as well.
Yeah, Infinite had
it
as
totally
well.
Had that. It was like...
Yeah, no, for sure. And I suppose you could argue Bioshock 1 and 2. Not 2.
To an extent. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
Functioning though. It was
no.
Like, you still got like the...
But
you still got the non-combat kind of...
Yeah,
walk around.
You have your tram.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of parallels between Half-Life and Bioshock, but...
Yeah, Bioshock 1 always reminded me of Half-Life.
Yeah, it reminded me of that, like, in a really good way.
Nice.
Okay. I played Aperture Tag.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it... It's such a flawed game. Like, it...
Yeah.
Because the gameplay is great. The levels design is great. The music is great. The voice acting, the writing, and the story is so bad. It's like, holy shit.
So, is it better or worse than Portal Prelude?
That's what it sounds like to me. What? It's like, cool, like...
Did you ever play Portal Prelude?
I played, like, the first three levels, got stuck, because it was way too fucking hard.
You should just, like, turn the dialogue off and then play it, because the levels are actually really well designed.
In Prelude.
Yeah.
I think I was so mad at how hard Prelude was, I, like, went on the...
Yeah, no, it was too hard for me.
I went on the forums and, like, posted this thread that was, like, this game... I posted this thread on, like, the official forums for Prelude, and I was like, this is too fucking hard. You guys suck. Also, why is the voice acting like this? It's... Like, why are they robots? Why can't you just get someone to just say it? It'd be, like, 10 times better. And, like, the actual guy who made it was, like...
Some French dude.
Like, I don't care. Like, on my thread. And so I was like...
Well, fucking...
And he was right. Like,
to be fair, you were... What, you were 14? I mean,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's also me and James were both really into Portal. Like...
What the hell is that sound?
I don't know. It's coming from up there somewhere.
Like, the gameplay elements, like, we were both like, yeah, I'm gonna beat Portal like this, and...
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were into the idea of a really hard version of Portal, but it also... The big thing with Prelude was it had that one bit early on that, like, to get it right, I tried, like, 50,000 times. And it wasn't even, like, it had these bits where you weren't even doing the wrong thing. You just needed to do it enough and it would eventually work.
You just need to, like, optimize it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, go into the portal at, like, the right side of the portal so that you die.
Yeah,
over
that's exactly why I stopped playing.
That's why,
like,
I didn't like it.
It was
bullshit. There is one bit that is ridiculously bullshit, and I think everything else in it is sort of... doesn't go beyond a little bit bullshit.
Okay, yeah. Well, either way, Aperture Tag is a much more...
polished product?
Well, I haven't played enough of Prelude, and it was so long ago...
Yeah.
...that I can't... judge it to the same kind of detail that I can judge Aperture, but it's a lot easier. Like, every puzzle, like, I could get within a few kind of tests.
Yeah.
There were a few right at the end which were a bit kind of like, these are ridiculously a bit weird.
Right.
But apart from that, it felt like the whole difficulty curve, learning mechanics, like, absolutely spot on. The story was, like, just so forgettable. They give you a personality core.
Oh, no.
But it's, like a no personality core. Like, it's...
Oh, no.
It's...
So, like, Wheatley, but, like, not...
Yes.
Oh.
But so with, like... you know, a typical kind of...
So it's like they tried really hard but failed?
Yeah, and it's like...
Sounds like...
They repeat the same jokes as, like, Portal do.
What?
But, like, even, like, without any of the
charisma.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Absolutely, like...
Oh my god.
Sounds like a...
I feel like, especially, like, these mods is like, if you're not going to do it really, really well, just don't.
But, like,
that was the end of Podcast Confirmed episode 43. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it.